Islam, worship, feminism, pietism, postmodernism. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14 and 15 in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org. Well, I love it when someone is able to put into words what's difficult to put into words, and our guest for the next 10 minutes, George Conger, has been able to do that very well, talking about a story out of Scotland, whether or not the Presbyterian Church there actually endorsed gay clergy. George Conger is a regular guest, formerly served as a British correspondent for the Jerusalem Post and the overseas correspondent for the Church of England newspaper. He's a contributor to GetReligion.org. George, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hello, Todd.
You have written recently about the sacred, yes, but Anglican doctrine of deliberate confusion. I love the way you've been able to put that. But you're not talking about the Anglicans, are you? Who are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about the Presbyterians. The Presbyterians, the Church of Scotland, have adopted what is basically an Anglican doctrinal standard of trying to say things out of both sides of the mouth at the same time.
What is the story about?
Well, on Monday, the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland, which is the Presbyterian Church in Scotland, the largest Presbyterian church, voted on gay clergy. They've been debating this issue for a long time, and the newspapers in London and across the UK reported on Monday that the Church of Scotland has approved gay ministers. Well, if you actually read the resolutions and the issues that they discussed, they didn't quite do that. It's really complicated, I'm afraid. It's not easily reducible to a newspaper story, but you can be confident about one thing, that the press got it backwards. They've adopted a yes-but attitude towards homosexual clergy. It's a sin, but some churches can opt out of it being a sin.
Oh, okay.
How does that work?
I mean, for those of us who are perhaps encumbered by, you know, simple things like logical contradictions, and we get stuck on them, can you try to explain what exactly is at work here?
Okay. As I've mentioned, for about 20, 25 years, the Church of Scotland, like just about every other mainline denomination, has been discussing, fighting the issue over the issues of homosexuality in the life of the church. And there's a group, the liberals have been trying to what would call normalize it, where a homosexual priest or minister in a same-sex relationship, that is just as morally valid as a married priest or minister. Now, then there are those who say this is absolute nonsense. The Bible is quite clear about this, and so on, and the church has taught this unchanging truth for 2,000 years. Well, it's been fought over in the legislature of the Scottish Church. And in 2011, the Liberals won. They passed a resolution saying that we're going to rethink gay clergy and we're going to commission a study that will help us to make an informed theological decision. Well, the study was undertaken, and I have to applaud the Presbyterian Church because it was one of the best documents I've seen from any denomination on the issue of homosexuality, and that they laid out the liberal, progressive tradition that interpretation that calls for change, and they were and usually denominations such as my own, the Episcopal Church, just go ahead and make a change and then figure out the theology afterwards. Well, the Presbyterians are a little more rigorous than we are, and in this paper they also included the traditional understanding, and they ended the paper saying, we cannot agree amongst ourselves which one to recommend to the General Assembly. So going into Monday's meeting, the Liberals were on a winning streak, and the Assembly was presented with two options. We change everything, normalize homosexuality, or we keep the status quo. And neither side was really willing to go concede. And so the former moderator of the Presbyterian Church put forward a compromise. And he said, we will maintain in our official statement and doctrine the traditional stance on human sexuality, which is that sexual acts find their only moral or lawful expression in a husband-wife, male-female relationship. No sex outside of marriage, two states, married and celibate. That's the traditional version, and we'll affirm that. But we'll allow congregations that wish to call gay ministers the right to do so if their presbytery, their sort of local organizing body, permits it. Now, we have to have a committee write what this formally means in law, and then we have to send it out to the presbyteries to endorse. So by 2015, if everybody's on board, we'll have gay clergy. So the Guardian and the Telegraph and all the newspapers in London were writing, gay clergy approved in Scotland. Well, the reality is the principle of not deciding was approved, and then we have these further steps that have to be jumped through. And one of the things that needs to be overcome is that when the report on homosexuality was undertaken, only 35% of the presbyteries are in favor of it. And you have to have 50% plus one to change the doctrine of the Presbyterian Church. So in other words, nothing's going to happen except they voted for the great Anglican doctrine of having it both ways. We're going to be seen to be doing something, but we actually won't be doing anything at all.
Now, for the Guardian's part and its coverage of this, am I being less than generous if I say that they tipped their bias a little bit? They tipped their hand in declaring premature victory for gay clergy in the Presbyterian Church of Scotland?
Absolutely. In 2011, when the Liberals won and the study was ordered and the church agreed to rethink homosexuality, the headline of their article was Church of Scotland votes to allow gay ministers. That was in 2011. And on Monday, the headline of their article was Church of Scotland votes to allow gay ministers. Same headline. And they're saying, 2 years later, we have this brand new story that happens to be the exact same story we wrote 2 years ago, even though the Church of Scotland hasn't voted for gay ministers. They voted for the principle of allowing some people to have the thought about maybe having gay ministers. As I said, maybe I'm just too jaundiced about how the English and Anglicans work, but, this is a perfect Anglican way of having your cake and eat it, too.
Now, to your knowledge, has anyone from the Church of Scotland challenged what the Guardian has been reporting?
No, their synod is continuing until the 24th. That's today. So when they're probably all done, they'll read the press coverage and some formal statement will be put out clarifying this or clarifying that. But what really has happened is that the traditional Presbyterians in the Church of Scotland are basically saying, this is errant nonsense. You can't, you can't mix truth and falsehood together and assume that we can go forward in any sort of intellectual or moral or logical consistency. So the Liberals are happy because they haven't lost, they haven't won, but they've been given sort of a fig leaf to say we're moving forward. It's the Conservatives who actually did win on a legislative political angle. From a theological angle, they just are saying, I can't believe this is my church.
Could part of this be that the reporters from The Guardian simply consider the minutiae, the policies and the procedures of something as legislatively weighted as the Presbyterian Church in Scotland? I mean, are they essentially saying, who cares about the details? We know where they're headed. Let's go ahead and write the headline.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment. And first off, I would say that they assigned the Scotland reporter to cover this story. So it wasn't a reporter who has any background or knowledge or maybe even any interest in religion whatsoever to write a story about a very it's a theological argument they're talking about. It's an ethical and it's a moral argument involving the minutiae of how a church operates, and they're sending the Scotland reporter to cover this. It's let's say we have a scientific breakthrough, and you send a sports reporter to cover it. Well, he's, you know, with the best will in the world, he's not going to know what he's writing about or talking about. Part of the problem is that the religion reporter basically is disappearing on mainstream newspapers, being replaced with generalists, and people pass through the religion pages on their way to something better. So first off, the guy didn't know what he was writing about. And second, you're absolutely right. The editorial voice, the conventional wisdom of the Guardian newspaper is that it's self-evidently true that homosexuality is morally equivalent to heterosexual conduct. Therefore, we're just stating what the outcome should be, and eventually they'll catch up to us.
Quickly, before we let you go, you also recently made some observations about a story out of France on the so-called Kathos 2.0 generation. What is it, and what in the story stood out to you?
Well, a French weekly newspaper, La Nouvelle Observateur, which is akin to Time magazine, it's the largest circulation general news weekly, had a very long article about who are the opponents to gay marriage. France, just the French President Hollande, just signed into law a gay marriage law. But there have been mass protests in the streets, hundreds of thousands of people coming out in protest to gay marriage. And the magazine wanted to investigate who were the opponents. And to their surprise, it turns out to be college-aged young people who happen to be fervent Roman Catholics. And that story went even deeper into that and saying that the strength of the Catholic Church in France right now are its young people, that the church of the 20 to 25-year-olds is very different from the church of the 45 to 55-year-olds, because the young people are the children of John Paul and Benedict. And there is a renewal of the Catholic Church, of a traditional Catholic ethos, understanding of religious truth that is coming from the conservative wing. So that it was really, from a French point of view, a man-bites-dog story, because the student revolutionaries in the streets are ardent conservative traditional Christians, and there were hundreds of thousands of them.
George Conger formerly served as a British correspondent for the Jerusalem Post and the overseas correspondent for the Church of England newspaper. He's a contributor to GetReligion.org. George, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you so much.
When we come back on this Friday afternoon, May the 24th, we're going to spend the entire second hour of the program studying the Pentecost hymn, O Day Full of Grace. Dr. Stephen Hine will be our guest. Feel free to join us with questions or comments on this Friday afternoon, 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at issuesetc. The Pentecost hymn, O Day Full of Grace, with Dr. Stephen Hine in Hour 2 of Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.